All right, let's open our Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, for the message this morning. And let's begin reading, please, in verse 8. Verse 8. Luke 15 and verse 8. All right, let's start here in verse 8. It says, "Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it?" I know, stop right there and look at me for just a moment. You say, well, what's the big deal about losing a piece of silver? Well, here's the big deal, all right? The pieces of silver were sewn into a veil that went across her face, all right? It was her dowry. It was her dowry. And so it would depend on the cost of silver at that moment, but it would also depend upon how many pieces were sewn into the veil. And you couldn't put too many on because it would fall down, all right? But it was her dowry. And so if she lost one piece off of her veil, off of her dowry, that's why she would panic and sweep the house searching diligently to find it. All right? Does that make a little bit better sense to you? You see how that would work? That's what that is all about. And so it says, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Now, verse 10, likewise, all right, so verse 8 and 9 is a little scenario, a little picture, a little allegory that Jesus is giving to make a point. And here's the point, verse 10, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. All right, now notice here, notice what the Lord's saying here. There is. Is that past, present, or future? There is. Present, all right, very good. Y'all get an A. And then I say unto you, there is, present tense, joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. All right, so all of this is present tense. If a sinner repents, there's rejoicing, there's joy among the angels of heaven. Does that make sense to you? All right, so I'll stop right there. And we'll pray and then the message. Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word. Bless this to our hearts today. Give us understanding of what we're about to hear. And Father, I pray that you'll stir our souls with your word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We have a little verse of scripture here in verse 10 that we would not know anything about what is being said in this verse if the Lord Jesus had not shared this information with us. In other words, you could not look it up in an encyclopedia and learn what's in verse 10. You could not look it up on the internet and learn what is being taught here. The Lord Jesus, we would not know this if the Lord Jesus had not told it to us. Now, what what is it that we learn? Well, we learn that there is joy and rejoicing among the angels in heaven over one sinner that repents. One sinner. I think that we ought to keep the angels rejoicing, don't you? Yeah. And so we would not know this if the Lord Jesus had not told us all about it. Now, here's another thought, folks. Everything we know about the angels in heaven, everything we know about them, we learn from the Bible. We cannot see into the unseen realms. We cannot see down into hell and everything that's going on down there. We cannot see with our literal eyes into heaven and see what's going on up in heaven. So what we learn or what we know about the angels in heaven and the demons in hell, we know from what the Bible teaches us. There's no other source. There's no other way. And I don't know if you remember, but back in the 80s, there was this huge, I guess you'd say, explosion in quote unquote the church. There was this huge explosion that happened where everyone all of a sudden got interested in angels. And this impacted the charismatic movement. They went crazy over it. And the New Age things, all that New Age gobbledygook came out of all this. And the world just became fascinated with angels. Fascinated with them. Television programs came out which showcased angels dealing with people and helping them get through life. You might remember that. Wasn't there a show called Touched by an Angel or something like that? All right, I never did watch it, but I remember that it was on. And movies portrayed angels coming to assist and to aid and to help people deal with sickness or deal with trouble or deal with some kind of heartache that they had to go through. And then songwriters were writing songs about angels, and people had these little figurines of angels all over their houses and all over their gardens outside. I mean, angels were just all the rage. Now, I believe that the Bible teaches that angels are real. I believe that with all my heart. I believe everything the Bible says about angels. People today claim that they have been visited by angels. Well, I disagree with that. And the reason that I do is because some of these folks who say they were visited by angels, they come and say, oh yeah, the angel introduced himself to me. Did he really? Did he really? You see, I believe that we entertain angels, but as Hebrews 13:2 says, we do that unawares. You remember in Hebrews 1, we learned that angels are ministering spirits. They have been sent by God as ministering spirits. And then later on in chapter 13, the author says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that men have entertained angels, but they did not know that it was an angel who was visiting them. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had a couple of instances in my life where once I went away from the situation, I wondered in my mind, was that an angel God sent me? I've had that happen twice that I know of, two times that I was aware of. Something is, but it was after the fact. And so we entertain angels unawares. I can't wait to get to heaven. I got so many questions. Don't you? Huh? I just have so many questions. And of course, when I get there, I'll know all the answers before I have to ask the questions. But I'm looking forward to learning some things about why this happened and why that happened and what was this all about and what was that all about, you know? But the Bible is very clear that angels are real and that they have appeared and comforted and consoled and helped folks in a time of need. But I don't believe that we know that they're doing that. We entertain angels, but unawares. And you have probably entertained an angel somewhere in your lifetime. But if you did, you certainly did not know that it was an angel that you were entertaining, that you were conversing with or was conversing with you. Now, we learn something very interesting here in this 10th verse. Jesus said that there is joy in the presence of angels over one sinner that repents. And how would we know that unless the Lord Jesus had told us in this verse? You see, that's the only way we would know this information. And so I'm glad it's here. Again, we just do not know all that is going on beyond the realms of what we're able to see. I've taught you that there is a seen world. That's what we live in right here. But there is also an unseen world. All right? And if our eyes were to have the scales removed so that we could see the battle that is raging just over our heads between God and the devil, it would scare all of us to death. We certainly would not go another day without reading our Bible. We certainly would not go another day without prayer, and we certainly wouldn't be laying out and missing church. We want to get all we could get from the Word of God. Now, this 10th verse is this 10th verse, very important verse, because it tells us that there is joy and rejoicing, and those two words are used many times in this 15th chapter. As a matter of fact, the chapter is all about lost things being found, all right? Lost things being found, and the reaction to finding that which was lost. And in every case, when the lost object or person was found, there was joy and there was great rejoicing. So look at this 10th verse and notice that with these illustrations, the Lord Jesus says that whenever a lost sinner comes to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, even the angels in heaven are filled to the brim with rejoicing. Now, for the message this morning, let's ask ourselves why the angels rejoice when a sinner, an unsaved person, repents of their sin, believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, and trusts the Lord as their personal Savior. I mean, whenever that happens, Jesus said there is great rejoicing among the angels in heaven. So let's ask ourselves this question. This question. What makes the angels rejoice? Why do they rejoice when one person gets saved? Why are they so ecstatic when an old sinner falls on his or her face and calls upon the name of the Lord to be saved? Why is heaven so full of rejoicing? All right, first thing, they rejoice because, number one, it reminds them of creation. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, let me remind you that when the Lord God of heaven spoke and brought this universe into existence, when God spoke and created everything, it was the angels of heaven who were there to witness this great deed. You weren't there. I wasn't there. But the angels of heaven were there. They saw God Almighty create the heaven and the earth. Just imagine it, folks. Imagine the angels of heaven watching as God said, "Let there be light." And then all of a sudden, there was light. Imagine when God said that he would create the heavens and the earth and then would fling the stars into space and then spin them all to get them going in the right direction. I mean, just imagine you're standing there watching the God of the universe create everything that is. Would you not have fallen on your knees and said, "Oh, my word, look at this. All praise and honor and glory goes to the Lord. Only God could do something like this." And immediately when God said, "Let there be light," there was light. I can imagine that the angels of heaven clapped their hands together and said, "Who is like unto thee, O great Jehovah God?" You see, the angels were there to witness the mighty act of creation. They saw the Lord create the sun to rule by day and the moon to rule by night. And over everything that God did, the angels of heaven clapped their hands in amazement and cried with the psalmist, "Creator, thou art to be magnified, for thy mercy endureth forever." They watched as God took the dust of the earth and made a man. Wow. Hey, you want to try that? I mean, let's get NASA to try that. Let's get somebody to step up and volunteer. Say, "I'll take the dust of the earth and I'll create a man. And that man will be living. And that man will have a heart. And he'll have a brain. And he'll have his mind. And he'll have a conscience within him. I'll create a man. I'll show God that it can be done." No, you won't. It is impossible for you to do that. But it was nothing for God. Let me remind you that with God, nothing is impossible. And God created the man from nothing, a man who could talk and walk and think and reason and love and fellowship with his Creator. Absolutely amazing, folks, when you pause for just a moment to think about it. So when the angels witnessed God creating man, they rejoiced to see his work. They had to. And so when they see a sinner repent and turn to God for salvation turn to the Lord Jesus as their Redeemer, what it does is it reminds them of creation all over again. For you see, repentance brings, creates a new creature in Christ. Every time someone gets saved, those angels in heaven rejoice. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Why? Because they know that the only thing that can make a new creation is the Lord Jesus himself. No sinner ever repents without God making that sinner a new heart and a new spirit and a new life. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So they rejoice because it reminds them of that day when they saw the first creation. And now here is the second Adam, and the second Adam makes a new creation in himself. What a glorious thing. That would make me rejoice too, wouldn't it, you? God is God, and God can create. God can do what he wills to do. I don't know that ever since the day when God made this world, with the exception of new hearts, that the angels have ever seen God make anything else. But boy, every time a sinner gets saved, God makes a new creature. And there's rejoicing among the angels of God. And perhaps the only instance of new creation the angels have ever witnessed since that first day is the creation of a new heart and a right spirit in the bosom of a repentant sinner. You see, the first time when God created the world and God said, it is very good. But as soon as the serpent came and tempted Eve, and Eve then got Adam to disobey God and plunged mankind into sin, ever since that day, God said, I will destroy man from off the face of the earth. And ever since Adam plunged the human race, God can only say the truth about what he sees. And what he sees is a world since Adam that has been bitten and polluted by the poisonous serpent and destroyed by this poisonous serpent's venom. But at salvation, the curse is removed. At salvation, God once again says, oh, this is very good. What a joy to know the Lord as your Savior. The angels can rejoice and praise God's name and give him the glory because it is salvation that brings life out of death. Second thing, they rejoice because they know what the sinner has escaped. You see, when that sinner calls upon the Lord Jesus, there's rejoicing because those angels know what that sinner has just gotten out of. He just got himself out of hell or herself out of hell. I love that part. You see, the angels know better than any of us just how awful hell is. They were there when the devil lured one-third of heaven's angels to rebel against God. They were there. They saw it. And they witnessed firsthand the wrath and the judgment of God as he cast the devil out of heaven and gave him assurance that he would one day be cast into hell for all of eternity because of his rebellion against the Father. Can any of us imagine how horrible hell is going to be? I don't think we can. I think whatever terrible picture you see in your mind, multiply that by 10,000 times 10,000, and you might be getting a little bit closer. Hell is going to be a terrible place. You see, we cannot see beyond the veil into heaven, and we cannot see beyond the veil into hell. But we can read the Bible, and when we read the Bible, we know how horrible the dungeon of lost souls will be. We should be thankful that we cannot see or hear into hell, for the wailings of the eternally damned would haunt us and make us miserable here on this earth. Could you imagine hearing that? Could you just imagine? We have a bunch of dogs that live around us. Those dogs bark all day, and they bark all night. It's nonstop. I don't mean it's every now and then. I mean it's nonstop, day and night. Yeah. Thank the Lord, I've gotten hardened to it, but my wife has not. She still hears them. But I once I go to sleep, a train could go through the house. And I wake up the next morning and say, "What? How'd this hole get here?" All right, I mean, it's that bad. But to hear that all day and all night, isn't this something? I'm laying there on the pillow, I'm laying there about to go to sleep, and I hear that thing. And then I'll sit up on the edge of the bed, and I'll say, "When's he going to quit?" And he'd never quit. So I lay back down, then I sit back up, and then I lay back down, I sit back up. Well, I've gotten to the place now where I'm hardened to it. I forget where I was. Oh, I went to a gun range. I went to a gun range to shoot, and they had those little things you stuff in your ears, you know, and I thought, ooh, that might help. So I got two of those, and I stuck those in my ear. And then I think my memory just replayed it over and over and over and over. I could still hear it. I wasn't hearing it, but I could hear it. But when you hear something over and over and over and over, well, eventually you get hardened to it. And can you imagine if we could hear the horrors of hell? Could you imagine if we could hear that? Well, folks, I'm telling you, the angels know all about that. They know. They live in that realm of the unseen. And they understand what hell is like. Think for a moment about what Paul said concerning heaven. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, Paul said, "Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." And I think that the same thing could be said for those who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ and the hell they will have to suffer. No eye has seen, no eye has or no ear has ever heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who have rejected him and his grace. Oh, what an awful place that's going to be. I cannot fathom. Our minds just cannot conceive how terrible and horrible the sufferings will be. But the angels know the terrible, terrible plight of that whole matter. They understand it. They remember the look on the Father's face when Satan rebelled and led a charge to the throne of heaven. They have not forgotten how at the right hand of God, how it thundered down upon Satan's rebellion when Satan and his evil followers were cast from the highest to the lowest, and multitudes were ushered by those angels who did not follow the devil, who did not follow Lucifer, to the place where God has prepared for the devil and his angels. My, what an awful place. I can imagine that many, if not all of them, got a glimpse into the fiery blast. I can imagine that they stood and looked down and turned their faces from the awful horror that is hell. You see, folks, the angels know how bad it is. I can imagine that they were watching God's face when Satan rebelled and could see how brokenhearted he was. I can imagine that it grieved their souls. So it is no wonder when a sinner repents that there is rejoicing among the angels of heaven. And realize, folks, that the newly blood-washed soul that comes to Christ and believes in Christ will never have to go to that awful, awful place. For they had looked into the jaws of that pit and seen with their own brothers being cast into the bellowing fires that God prepared for the devil and his angels. They saw it. And so when someone gets saved, they now rejoice because that soul no longer is on his way to a devil's hell. One more thing. Number three, they rejoice because they know what the joys of heaven are. They rejoice because they know what the joys of heaven are all about. You know, much of what we know about heaven is from a purely aesthetic perspective. We read in the book of the Revelation, gates of pearl, all right? Gates of pearl, walls of jasper, streets of gold, mansions that we'll live in. And all of that is nice, don't get me wrong. And I'm looking forward to all of that, don't get me wrong. But the angels know what heaven is really like. Not just aesthetically, but they know from personal experience what heaven is really like. And that's why they rejoice when you and I trust Jesus as our Savior. Can you imagine that? They know where we're coming to. They know where our eternal home is going to be. And that makes them happy. That makes them happy. Remember, folks, they have been there since before there was a universe. They were there in eternity past. That blows our minds, doesn't it? But they were. John, with his mortal eye, saw things that astound the mind and make us realize that when we get there, it is going to be something special. But the verse I quoted a little while ago says, where Paul said, that we have no idea how wonderful heaven is going to be. I mean, with John's description in Revelation, can you imagine? John was taken up to heaven and he looks around and he sees streets of gold and walls of jasper and gates of pearl. He sees the tree of life and the river of life and the throne and God on the throne and Jesus on the right hand of God the Father. And there's the cherubim and the seraphim, and everything is praising God and glorifying God. And John just, man, he was blown away with that. Well, I want you to know, folks, that the angels were there a long time before John ever showed up. And they've known all about this for all the way back in eternity past. We often focus on what will be there in heaven, but think about what won't be there in heaven. You know, when you think about what won't be there, that makes you kind of rejoice yourself. For example, there'll be no cancer up there. There will be no migraines up there. There will be no kidney problems or heart problems. There'll be no skin cancer up there. I'm so glad for that. Remember, there'll be no sorrow up there. There'll be no sickness. There'll be no fear. All the things that make us miserable down here, or sad, or afraid, or depressed, or sick, or confused, will not be in that wonderful place. No sin, no sorrow, no death. No arthritis, amen. No blindness, no deafness, no drugs, no alcohol, praise God. No darkness, no despair. I mean, there will be the absence of all these things that have done nothing but cause heartache and suffering and sorrow and discord for us in this world. It'll all be gone. It'll all be gone. There was a lady by the name of Catherine Dangel. And she wrote a poem years ago. And she called the poem "The Horrors of Hell." And here's how it goes. Hell, the prison house of despair. Here are some things that won't be there. No flowers will bloom on the banks of hell. No beauties of nature we love so well. No comfort of home, music, or song. No friendship or joy will be found in that throng. No children to brighten the long, weary night. No love, no peace, nor one ray of light. No blood-washed soul with face beaming bright. No loving smile in that region of night. No mercy, no pity, pardon or grace. No water. Oh, dear God, what a horrible place. The pangs of the lost, no human can tell. No moments of ease. There is no rest in hell. Hell, the prison house of despair. Here are some things that will be there. Fire and brimstone are there, we know. For God in His word hath told us so. Memory, remorse, suffering and pain. Weeping and wailing. But all in vain. Blasphemer, swearer, hater of God, Christ rejecter while here on earth trod, murderer, gambler, drunkard, and liar will all have their place in the lake of fire. The filthy, the vile, the cruel, the mean what a horrible mob in hell will be seen. Yes, more than humans on earth can tell are the torments and woes of an eternal hell. Why would the angels rejoice when someone gets saved? Well, that's easy. They know what heaven's like. And you see, the moment you trust Christ as your Savior, you are locked out of hell. Hey, don't forget, Revelation 1, the Lord Jesus has the keys to death and hell. And when you have the keys, you have the authority. And the moment you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that very moment, the Lord took the keys and reached down and locked hell for you. You couldn't get in there if you tried. That's good to know, isn't it? Billy Sunday used to say, I am so secure in Christ that I could swing over the flames of an open hell on a spider web singing a blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And that's true, folks. That's exactly right. For hell is closed up to you. And the Lord with unlocked heaven for you. Thank God for salvation. And that's what makes the angels rejoice. Let me tell you one little story and I'll quit. When I was pastoring out in Illinois, in Chicago area, in Joliet, I got a call one day from one of my church members and said, Pastor, would you go see, and gave me a name. And I said, sure. So I went over to the hospital and I walked in to this room and there was this little shriveled up lady laying there kind of curled up on her side. And you could just tell looking at her, she had lived a hard life and she was dying. And I went over and introduced myself and I asked her if she died, did she know she'd go to heaven? And when I asked her that question, she just kind of looked at me surprised. And she said, I was praying just a moment ago that somebody would come by and talk to me because I'm dying, I know I'm dying, and I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. And I said, well, ma'am, God answered your prayers. And I sat down on the chair beside her bed, and I started giving her the gospel. And as I gave her the gospel message, tears filled those dark, sad, sunken eyes and rolled off onto the pillow. And she was so brokenhearted. And she said, Pastor, I have been so wicked for most of my life. And I said, well, ma'am, here's the good thing. God can forgive you for that. She said, I don't know if he can or not. And I said, oh, yeah, he can. He can. And I turned over where the Lord said, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven men. All manner. And she said, well, Pastor, for years I rebelled against my parents. I left home and I went to Chicago and ended up being on the streets in Chicago and just lived a terrible drug-induced life, didn't know where I was half the time, and was sold into slavery. And I should not even be here. And I said, but you are. And she just kind of was startled. I said, you are. You're still here. You still have an opportunity to ask the Lord Jesus to save your soul. She said, but Pastor, can he forgive me? I said, yes, he can forgive you. Can God save a person who has been as bad as I've been all my life? I said, yes, ma'am. God can save the worst of the worst. And if you want to call yourself the worst, I'm here today as God's representative to tell you that God can save your soul. She said, well, Pastor, I want God to save me. And so I continued on with an invitation and a letter to Christ. And she laid there on her side and prayed, and tears streaming out of her eyes. And she prayed and received the Lord as her Savior. Now, question. Did everybody in that hospital stop and come to the room and rejoice? Nah. No, they didn't. Did they pause everything and have a big parade on Rush Street? No. How about Michigan Avenue? No rejoicing. Was there the Blue Angels fly over? Nope. When I saw that little gal smile from ear to ear, and I looked at her and I said, ma'am, you're happy, aren't you? She said, oh, I cannot tell you how happy I am. And I said, well, that's what happens when you give your life to Jesus. And I said, now, if you died right now, where are you going to spend eternity? She said, in heaven. I said, yes, ma'am, that's right. And don't you ever let anybody take that away from you. And I said, nobody's rejoicing here except for you, because you received it, except for me, because I'm the one that shared the gospel with you. Nobody else is rejoicing in this hospital. But I can guarantee you, up in heaven, there is a party going on right now. There's joy and rejoicing when one sinner repents. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed, please. Our eyes are closed. Let me ask you a personal question. Do you know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die? Do you know for sure? You can know. You know, the Bible tells us that these things in the Bible are written so that we might know that we have eternal life. You can know that you have eternal life. It's not a hope so, or, well, I sure do hope one day. No, you can know that you're saved and on your way to heaven. And if you're not sure, you really ought to trust the Lord this morning, and let's just have heaven rejoice over your soul coming to Christ. So with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, no one looking around, wonder how many will say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not 100% sure that I'm saved and going to heaven, but I'm concerned about my eternal soul. I know I need the Lord. So preacher, pray for me downstairs, upstairs. Would you just lift your hand right now and say, Pastor, pray for me. I know I need the Lord. And I will pray for you. I won't embarrass you, I promise that, but I will pray for you. Anybody like that? Anybody like that? Pastor, pray for me. Anybody like that? All right. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your wonderful word. And I pray you'll bless this to our hearts, give us understanding, help us to search our souls this morning. And Father, I pray that if there's someone here today who is not clear on this matter of, am I going to heaven when I die, that they'll get it settled this morning before it's too late. So, Father, do your work in our midst, and we'll rejoice and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.